I loved reading books to my kids as they were growing up, and we read some quite complex books, and that changes over the years, but and they had their favorites, and I had mine, and I wanted to tell you about one of mine and wonder if anybody else has ever heard of it. It's called Me First. Does that ring any bells? Me First is about this little stout kid in elementary school. And that was his cry, me first, me first. He always wanted to be first. So his school went on a field trip to the ocean, or the shore anyway, lake, ocean. I don't know where it was now. It's been a long time. And the kid wanted to get on the bus first, and he wanted to have the front seat, and he kept saying, me first, me first. And the bus pulled up to the shore, and all the kids piled out, and they heard a faint call. Would you care for a sandwich? Was the call. Would you care for a sandwich? Oh, his eyes lit up, and he said, me first, me first. And he's fighting through all the kids and going toward the voice that keeps saying, would you care for a sandwich? And he finally found himself like all alone on the shore, and he rounded this kind of dune-like thing, and there was this cave. And standing inside it was this short little lady with scraggly hair, and well, you'd call her a witch. And she was a sandwich because she lived on the shore and she made the kid wash her feet and bring her food. And so the kid who said, me first, wanting something for himself, ended up having to be a slave to the sandwich. Isn't that a great lesson that kids and sometimes adults need to learn? Well, in the book of Mark, we see the disciples with the same kind of mindset. And Jesus teaches them not with a sandwich, but with the truth that we can learn from. And it is totally applicable to our celebration of communion as well, as I hope you'll see. So if you have a handout, number one in the first blank is leadership is defined. And remember where we've come from. The transfiguration happened a couple of weeks ago, and healing of the boy who had the demon that the disciples couldn't cast out. And so they're leaving that place. That's where they're leaving as the scripture begins. Leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead. They didn't understand what he was saying, however, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. After they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you discussing out on the road? But they didn't answer, because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him, and said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. Me first. Me first. So we see three things in this opening passage. There are many more, by the way, in every passage. It's astounding how much you can get out of any one passage, one verse, one phrase sometimes. Jesus expressed his leadership desire. In the very second verse of this, verse 31, he said he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. That was his mission, to pass the kingdom truths on to these 12 so that when he was gone, filled with the Spirit, they would pass it on to more and more, as happened. As according to his plan, of course, his plans don't go awry, even if we sometimes get out from underneath them. So his desire was, I'm going to give myself to you. That's really what this transfer was all about in his leadership. But the disciples, B, we see the disciples' leadership motivation. They were discussing who was the greatest. And it's interesting, there's two different words here. The disciples use one word, and then Jesus uses a different word in his answer to them. They said that what they were doing was trying to figure out who was the greatest. This word greatest is a word, a comparative word. So I'm going to look at Diana and say I'm greater than she is. And of course, whenever you make yourself greater, you make somebody else less great. And that's not something that is really good to do in the relationships. It is about my status as compared to another, and the emphasis is on image. Me first. And I'm the greatest. And I don't know what they had in mind. Of course, we know they didn't understand all that Jesus was teaching them, and I'm sure they had regrets later on down the road going, and I wanted to be the greatest? We knew that they knew that they weren't on the right track because they were silent. When Jesus said, hey, what are you guys talking about? Now we know they probably didn't quite get it yet. He knew what they were talking about. So here's just the little sidebar that occurred to me a couple of hours ago. He knows whenever you're mumbling and grumbling before you even pray to him. He knows when you treat one another poorly before you bring it to him. So why not ask him for help to begin with and submit yourself to him? Anyway, that's just a little extra one in case anybody needed that. So Jesus defined the leadership in this passage by showing his desire, being quiet, being away, and being with them. The disciples had their turn of saying, well, we want to be great. They thought they were saying, we want to be great like you, Jesus, but they weren't saying that. They wanted to be greater than the rest of the 12. And see Jesus' leadership correction, we see. He says, if you want to be first, that's a different word than greatest. First is not a comparative word, it's a superlative word in the language. It is the highest above all. As a matter of fact, it's not a one position that can be only occupied by one. We can be first. We can all be in the best place, the highest among all. Now, to them, it was a status symbol. But we know from Jesus' example, his words, even his death, that it was an emphasis on his responsibility to do what God called him to do, the Son. It's about taking every thought of what my image is in the eyes of others, because when we want to be greatest, that's what we really want, is esteem from others. We want them to say, he's the greatest. Isn't he the greatest? GOAT, greatest of all time. And Jesus said, you want to be first, the highest? You want to be in the best place? You have to serve. And they probably went, So that's the definition of leadership. Now we're going to slam shift into the book of John here for a minute. Because what we're about to celebrate in communion, the account in John that leaves out the actual bread and wine, but all the rest of the scene is there. The last Passover, just days before Jesus was arrested. We know it was the same time. But John leaves this thing out. We're going to look at Jesus' ultimate example of what service could be. Not in the act he did, but in the spirit he did it. So I just wanted to speak a word about that. Why doesn't John mention communion in his account of the last night that Jesus spent with his disciples? Well, we know that the book of Matthew was written to show that Jesus was the king and that he fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. Matthew was writing to his Jewish audience to show them that. And this was pretty important to accomplish that goal. In Mark, the book we're going through on Sunday mornings, Jesus is seen as the suffering servant and the miracle worker, and audience was probably Roman or Gentile audience that Mark was writing to. Luke saw Jesus as the Son of Man and Savior for all people, and he had a Greek audience. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written prior to John. John was probably the last book that was written, around a few decades after Jesus left. And John's focus was the divine Son of God, the Word who brings eternal life. And it might be that John said, you know, those three other guys covered this one. I want to show something else, another aspect of Jesus' ministry. So if you have that question, and I had that question, maybe that helps. So what we see in John chapter 13, as you'll see in the description, is the same place where communion was instituted, but something else that Jesus was doing to demonstrate his leadership heart and his call to us to be servant leaders. No, so there's no mistake. I'm not going to spring it on you at the last minute. That's what it's about. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. Now, this is not connected to the story in Mark in chronology, but is connected to this account in Mark in spirit and in principle and in the demonstration of what he declared. Jesus declared, if you want to be first, you must be the servant of all. And here in John, he came the utmost top. Jesus, the only sinless one, God in the flesh, and he wrapped a servant's towel around his waist. We know from history that this task of washing people's dirty feet was usually left to the lowliest servant in the household, certainly not a member of the household, and certainly not anybody of prominence. And here Jesus, you know, representing himself fully to his disciples throughout the course of his ministry as at the same time this the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but the brother of us, wrapped a towel around his waist, took off his outer robe, and washed their feet. Now, there's more to this story. We're not going to read the whole story. Read that whole story, Peter's reply, and all that went on. But what we want to talk about is leadership here. So he did this, a bunch of stuff happened, and then he kind of wraps this example up. Number three is the call to true leadership. So this is not just about Jesus saying, I am your leader, and this is how a leader is supposed to be. He calls them, and guess what? He calls us to servant leadership. From verse 12 of chapter 13, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Why don't we have foot washing services? Why isn't it a sacrament? I believe that Jesus was using this most dirty task. I mean, you know, they had sandals a little bit. Probably a lot of people were barefoot. There were animals that wandered around and, you know, left things in the street. There was probably garbage. People walked, and here this servant had to do this nasty thing. This is an example, this is a principle of what service means, of the attitude of the servant, as well as their attitude towards someone who needed to be served. And oftentimes, this can be misused. I actually had someone in the last 3 years want to express that they were sorry for something they did to me in the past by washing my feet. That doesn't apply. That's not why Jesus washed feet. It was an act of service to someone, not an act of contrition. It wasn't a humbling because of sin that had been committed. It was, in Jesus' case, and if we're followers following him in our case, someone needs to be served. And in order for them to know who Jesus is, I'll be the one to serve them. So it doesn't just apply to washing feet. It doesn't just apply to one task. It applies to all that we encounter, all people, all situations where we are gifted to be able to serve in any way. Sometimes it's a good word. Sometimes it's an act of service. Sometimes it's a financial blessing. Sometimes it's a material thing that we're able to serve someone with. The lesson here is that Jesus, who deserved all of humanity to fall down at his feet in worship and praise would go to the dirtiest. Guess whose feet he washed? Judas. That's the level of service we're called to. And as we look at what Jesus did ultimately to serve us, you'll see 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's in your handout, but it'll be up on the screen, I think. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I almost used the New Living Translation, but there's something about the phrase that does not appear there, to be sin for us or to become sin for us, that loses gravity when it just, the New Living Translation, I believe, says become the sin sacrifice for us. It's kind of the same thing, but it's a little different. So sometimes we have this sense that Jesus maybe had a bag and he, you know, collected all our committed sins in the bag and threw it over his shoulder and brought it to God and say, here, take their sins away. He did do that, by the way. He did take our sins but he didn't just have a bag of our sins. He had to bear the weight of them. He had to feel what shame was, even though he did it nothing shameful. He never sinned. In that sense, it is said he became sin for us, he who had no sin. That is foot washing at its most disgusting and beautiful level. What would stop him? Not my deepest sin. And I know what that is. And I know what that felt like. And he bore that on the cross. And that is his example to his disciples. And it's contained in this call in John chapter 13. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done for you. So as we come to celebrate communion today, there are two things. There's one that always is there, and that is we come and we commit ourselves and confess our sin. We always have a confession of sorts, no matter what ritual we're using, because we come in appreciation that he carried our sins. But I suggest today that you also add that we celebrate his servanthood and we surrender to his call for us to serve. We can serve in the church. I'm not talking about that today. You'll notice in the announcements I didn't, but we will. You serve your family. You serve your spouse. You serve the world. Where can you serve? So the last blank in your handout is, Lord, empower me to serve. As you served, empower me to serve. We are not called to carry the sin of anyone else. Isn't that good news? But we're called to serve. So remember that as we prepare to enter into communion this morning. Pastor Mike, if you'd come and join me. Some of the words we will be saying you will not see on the screen, but there will be times for you to be able to participate in unison that will be clearly marked. This is our gluten-free. I always forget gluten for those of you who need it.
Listen to these words with the invitation. Listen to them from the heart. You who are truly and earnestly repentant of your sins, who live in love and peace with your neighbors, and who intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith. Take this holy sacrament to your comfort and humbly seeking, making your honest confession to an almighty God.
And join me in the recitation of the Lord's Prayer, but not to me, to the Lord. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
if you would, in unison, the affirmation of faith. O Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who with great mercy has promised forgiveness to all who turn to you with hearty repentance and true faith, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from our sins, make us strong and faithful in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now for the prayer of inner cleansing together. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. As we pray over these elements, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who gave in love your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer upon the cross for our redemption, who by his sacrifice offered once and for all did provide a full, perfect, and sufficient atonement for the sins of this whole world. We come now to your table in obedience to your Son, Jesus Christ, who in his holy gospel commanded us to continue to remember this precious death until he comes again. Hear us, O merciful Father, as we humbly ask, and grant that we, receiving this bread and this cup, as he commanded, and in memory of his passionate and death, partake in this most blessed body and blood.
On the night of his betrayal, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, after supper, he took the cup, and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, given for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now we're going to invite you to come and take two rows and take whatever time you need to appreciate what service God has done on our behalf that we are actually called to be a part of. And maybe pray along, "Lord, where can I serve? Who should I be serving?" Let's stand, and then as you return to your seats, we will take the communion elements together.
remember this, that Christ died for you, and feed upon it in your heart with faith and thanksgiving.
The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. And let us pray. Lord, you are a marvel to even love us in the first place. Since we know the depth of rebellion of our race and our individual form of rebellion before you, that you would love in the first place, that you would continue with the people who you described as hard-hearted and stiff-necked. But you amaze us in going even further than just loving us or from a distance caring for us, but walking among us, taking on the infirmity of human flesh, but preserving your holiness, your godness, so that you never sinned. But when you came to the end of 3 years teaching those 12 and one who would walk away from you at the very end, that you did indeed serve us at the highest level, because when someone is served because they have no ability to do it themselves, that is the highest kind of service we can do, and we could not do anything about our sin. So you became sin for us. You took your sin and suffered for us. You felt it and all that is associated with it, and you died as a punishment. And we forget sometimes the 3 days after that our creed says you descended into hell. So you know what punishment is like, an eternal punishment that those who don't know you will have because they are not thankful for what you've done and submit to you and follow you. We count it a privilege, Lord, to come before you at your bidding and remember this sacrifice and your service. And I pray you would help us be servants in this world at the highest level. Be the first, as you have called us to do, so that others might know and eventually come to this table themselves to celebrate your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for this time. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. May we close with a benediction. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and mind in the knowledge and the love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessings of an almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be yours now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. A wonderful day and week.